Good morning. By God's help, we're going to share some thoughts about soldiers, and we surely need the Lord. Would you join us as we ask God's blessings? Our Father, great is thy faithfulness. Yes. You have been faithful in the past to bless. We need you at this hour to bless us. And I ask that the Holy Spirit will touch every heart and every mind, and that you will make each one feel that it was worth the effort to come to the house of God today. We ask you that you'll even bless the children, that they could receive some blessing from the word today. And we ask these blessings in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God's soldiers are all volunteers. He doesn't have a draft system. And each one needs a resolve to follow the commands that he issues out. I was listening to the inauguration, and they had a man that spoke, and he read a letter from a soldier that was written to his wife. And he expressed his loyalty. And it seemed as though he put his loyalty to his country above his life. And it was shortly after the letter was written that he did lose his life in battle. So God's soldiers are volunteers, and it should be a lifetime. As the song says, I've enlisted in the service till I die. Now, there's no just certain age that you have to be in this army of the Lord. I read about a 15-year-old boy that was killed. And the last words he said was Jesus. He wasn't perhaps a soldier very long, but at 15 years old, his last word was Jesus before he died. I am now 78 years old, and I still am a soldier, and I don't plan to retire. And the Lord's good to those who are senior citizens, that they are not forced out of the service of the Lord. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, it tells who the enemy is of the soldiers of the cross. The 5th chapter, 8th verse. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Yes. Now, it starts out with be sober, be temperate, be balanced, be vigilant, be alert. One song says, my soul be on thy guard, 10,000 foes arise, and host of sin are pressing hard to rob thee from the sky. Oh, watch and fight and pray, the battle ne'er give o'er. Renew it holy every day. help divine implore. Ne'er think the victory won, nor once had he set down. The hardiest work will not be done till I have got the crown. Fight on, my soul, till death shall bring thee to thy God. He'll take thee at thy parting breath up to his blessed abode. Now, someone that's out to devour you, to rob you of all good, to just completely consume you, you need to be watchful, and you need weapons.
Yes.
And there are weapons that can be used against this foe that roars like a lion and seeking whom he may devour. Yes. And you can take this personally because it says your adversary, your name. He's out to get you. But a powerful weapon can be prayer. What was the saying? The enemy trembles when he sees the weakest saint on his knees.
Yes.
So prayer can be a mighty weapon against the enemy. And many a victory has come through prayer.
Yes.
Even in the Old Testament, when prayer would be made to God, there would be victory. The Word of God is a weapon. Jesus was very efficient and effective in giving the Word of God out to the enemy when he was tempted on the different occasions of his temptation. So the Word of God can be a weapon. Faith can be a weapon. Having faith in God. And I believe that it is essential. I value faith very highly. And I believe it's essential to have it as a soldier of the Lord. That we would have faith in our heart. Not just our head.
Yes.
But in our heart. Also singing can be a weapon.
Yes.
I was in a Sunday school class where Brother Curtis Williamson was teaching, and the subject was singing. And he was in the National Guard when Katrina hit, and he was on duty at that center where all those displaced people were, and they were out of food, and people was restless, and they were preparing to riot, and these National Guards were briefed, and they were told about the pending problem. If you can imagine thousands of people enclosed in a building, out of food, displaced, disgruntled, murmuring, complaining, and threatening a riot. And things were very tense. I don't remember him using those words, but you can imagine they were. A lady come up and she wanted the microphone, and she started singing, and maybe people in there sang with her. She sang and sang and sang until things cooled down, And after she stopped singing, people was looking for their beds instead of rioting. So singing can be a weapon that can be used against the enemy.
Yes.
And one time it seemed like the singers went out in front of the battle. And
yes.
It was a very great plus. So there are some weapons to use against this adversary that each one of us have. And he has weapons too that he uses against us. And one of his favorite weapons is fear.
Yes.
Fear. Even he uses it on unsaved people to make them afraid to get saved. If you remember the account of Goliath,
yes.
There was two armies, the army of the Israelites and the Philistines. And they were in this area, each one was on the sides of a mountain. And this Goliath was a giant.
Yes.
And every day he would come down in the valley and he would give his big threats. The men over here of Israel. And what he was wanting was someone to fight him. And he did this for 40 days, two times a day. He would come and make this threat. If you send a man and he kills me, we'll be your servants. Or, if it's the other way around, you'll be our servants. Can you imagine the fear that was upon them each time he made the threat? Do you think they had a very good day after he threatened them in the morning? And he did it in the evening. You think they had a very good night's rest? They were very fearful. And it tells about that in 1 Samuel, I think it is. 17th chapter and the 8th verse. And above these, this 8th verse, it tells about his statue, whose statue was 6 cubits and a span. Does anybody know how much that would be in a... I don't, anyway, he was a huge giant. And it told about all the things that he had on his body for protection.
I have in my Bible he was 11 feet and 4 inches tall.
How tall is this ceiling over here? Huh?
I'm guessing that the peak of that point right there is, it's probably low.
I'll stand over here. And I'm just 5 foot something, but... no ordinary person. And it said he was a champion. And that means you're a champion because you beat everybody that's challenged you, right?
Yes.
So he was a champion, and he had all this gear on him. He had a person that went before him with a shield, had this helmet, and he was, well, the eighth verse, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? How, ye come out to set your battle in array. Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we can fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Fear, the fear factor, had gripped the hearts of these soldiers that had had some training, probably, and of Saul himself. Now, Saul was a man that was of a tall stature. He was above any of his soldiers in stature, but compared to Goliath, maybe Goliath would have been a number of feet taller than him. So they were dismayed and afraid. And for 40 days they were at a stalemate. He would come out with his threat or bluff or intimidation, whatever you might classify it at. And he was doing a very good job of scaring and putting fear in the hearts of the Israelites. No one would come up and say, I think I'll take him on. I think that I've got a way that I can conquer him. There was zero, no men that was willing to take on the challenge. So fear gripped them to the point of just a standstill. But there was a brave, courageous individual that was behind the scenes, that God, in his providence, got him on the scene. He realized there was a cause and a reason to fight for.
Yes,
and the fear wasn't going to keep him out of the fight. And as you know, the outcome of the story and the song was sang today about David, that the outcome was that one man that didn't have the fear was able to defy this giant, and victory was given to the people of God.
Yes.
If the Philistines had this strategy, that if we can get them to send out someone, we're sure that we're going to have victory. We will have them in our power, and we will not lose any men at all. But thank God for David. That was able, and I don't know how much taller he was than Goliath was in David, but it didn't intimidate him one little bit. He had been able, through the power of God, to take on a lion and a bear and had victory there. And this giant, he felt like, was going to also be conquered. And he was, through the power of God. But the enemy likes to scare the people of God.
Yes.
I had something come on the side of my head that appeared like cancer. And he got worse. You know, I had to battle fear.
Yes.
I had to battle it. It was a real thing. The only doctor that seen it was Dr. Jesus. And you can look at it today. I can rub it and Dr. Jesus took care of it.
Amen.
But fear can grip the hearts, and Gideon started out with 32,000 men to conquer Midian, the Midianites, and the Lord thought, well, they might think they're doing this, and so he didn't want them to take the glory, and he told Gideon, you tell them, everyone that's fearful, leave, go home. And they went from 32,000 to 10,000. Bunch of cowards. Turned and stood up facing the Midianites. They went back home.
Yeah.
So that's another case in which fear was implemented in the ranks of the people of God that thinned out the army. You know, fear can thin out the army today.
Yes.
The enemy would love to use that to get people to back off from maybe what God's calling them to do. Something that would take them out of their comfort zone and make them afraid to move or do what God wants them to do. And so fear is still used. It was used against a mighty prophet, Elijah. Remember him? He had a great victory, and 450 prophets of Baal was slain, and a great victory of praying. The God of heaven is a God that can consume a sacrifice. Remember the story how the people of God had gone into idolatry, and Elijah had this challenge presented to these people. Baal, prophets, if you can get your God to consume a fire, a sacrifice, and so they was going to do it. Well, they had their sacrifice and they were calling on their God Baal to bring the fire down, and nothing, and fell out of the heavens for 3.5 years and wasn't raining. And so as they were calling on their God, why, they wasn't getting any results, and they started cutting themselves, and oh, it's just a pitiful thing if you pity that kind of a stuff. But at any rate, it was a good thing, really. But the evening sacrifice time come up.
Yes.
And it was Elijah's turn. And he repaired the altar and the sacrifice was put out there. And then he did a strange thing. How many barrels of water did they call for? Now, if you're going to have a cookout, do you put water on the wood or the briquettes? You don't do that, do you? Well, this was a strange thing, and you think maybe people thought Elijah was a little affected or something. But anyway, they did it. And you know it took a sacrifice because they were short on water. Hadn't rained for 3.5 years. They were short on water. And here he's asking for water to be wasted, to be poured on that. Well, they did it. They put all those barrels of water. And then he said a little prayer, not a long one. And the fire fell. No matches, no lighter fluid, but the fire fell.
Yes.
And it consumed the sacrifice. It was intense heat that it consumed the rocks and licked up the water. And those people were convinced that God is God.
Yes.
And the prophets of Baal were killed that day, 450 of them. Well, Jezebel did not like that. And she put a death threat, sent a message of death threat to Elijah.
Yes.
And this man who was brave enough to challenge these, well, he knew that Baal wasn't going to answer. But anyway, he made the challenge. And he successfully, through God's power, convinced these people of the true God.
Yes.
But after he got this death threat, in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, then Jezebel, second verse, sent a message unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came and sat down under a Jupiter tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father. Now, Elijah got afraid of the Jezebel. And she was a wicked woman. And she suffered a violent death. But he was afraid, so he took off for his life. You could say he ran for his life. Fear had him on the go. You know, fear can pressure people to do things. It can make them do erratic things even, and it paralyzes people. Fears that the enemy is imposing through, it can really affect people. Well, it affected Elijah so much that he just thought, well, I just might as well ask God to take my life. And that's a prayer he could have saved himself, because he never did die. Elijah never did die. He was taken up to heaven without death. But fear was driving him. And he had just had this great victory. But fear gripped his heart. Do you know fear gripped the disciples' heart when they were in a ship one time?
Yes.
In Matthew, the 8th chapter and 23rd verse. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there was a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. Now, if you can imagine being in a ship, I will not tell you I'm an artist. They was in this ship. And the water is supposed to be out here, of course. But this great storm brought water into the ship. You ever been in a storm? A flood? And these disciples could look at the water, they could feel the wind, and fear gripped them. It said, and his disciples come to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful? O ye of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. These men that had been in the company of Jesus had his presence with them, and he was there on the ship too. But as they were looking at the water, and it was probably enough water that they were standing in it, and it was a great storm, a great tempest in the sea. And so much the ship was covered with the waves. And they felt their life was at peril. And their fear that they had overwhelmed faith. They had more fear than they had faith. Is that possible? To have more fear than faith. And their fear was overwhelming. Instead of thinking that God is going to see us through this storm, some way we're going to be able to come through this storm. Instead of them thinking in that terms, they thought, we are going down. We're going to go down. And that's normal. What happens when there is a great storm? Times, ships go down, don't they? And so it was that they were so fearful that their faith evaporated. And that's what the enemy wants.
Yes.
He wants us to lose faith. it is so vital that we must have faith to please God. And so Jesus was able to just stand up and rebuke the wind, and there was a great calm. But they were very fearful. It is very possible that the enemy can impose fear in storms of life. Troubled marriages.
Yes.
Fears of different physical things.
Yes.
That can happen to the body. Perhaps the fear factor is the reason that some turn to man more than God. Is this possible?
Yes.
For their help. May God help us today that these disciples had it right that they went to Jesus when they didn't have the faith that they needed, that they were going to get through the storm some kind of way. They went to Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Today, it's your privilege, if you have fear about anything or any problem in your Christian experience, it's your privilege to go to Jesus. Jesus, save us.
Yes.
Help us through this storm. Calm it. Just tell him, one of the songs says, all my fears and needs I tell him. It is your privilege to tell him that what you fear or what is bothering you in your walk with God. They went to him and he had the solution, and he can have solutions for the storms of life that you face, that may seem like you're sinking and you're looking at the waves, but go to Jesus and he can help. He stopped the storm. He was able to rebuke the wind and stop the storm.
Yes.
And they did not sink. They survived. They were men called of God to be on a mission, and it wasn't to end in the sea, in a storm. They didn't think about that probably when they saw the water and they were stepping around in water. But they were men called of God, and they weren't leaving this world until God was finished with them. And he stayed the storm, and they come through, and they did fulfill their missions in life. May God help us today that we will be soldiers that are committed to God till death. That we will stand. And some have. The three Hebrew boys,
yes,
were soldiers. And they were able to defy the king's command to bow down and to worship an image. And it infuriated the king who had made the decree that that would happen. And for the consequences of not bending and bowing and worshiping an idol, they were to be put into a furnace. And so, as the time designated come for them to bow down to this idol, the three men did not do it. Whether they were afraid and still had courage enough to stand over the death threat, and when the king was enraged and said, heat it up seven more times. Pick it up some more notches. Did not change their mind. They were committed. They were determined. If our faith is to be in that furnace, we will not bow.
Yes, amen.
They were given a second chance. Time to rethink. And the decision didn't waver. They didn't stagger, and they were bold to keep their commitment.
Yes, amen.
And the king was determined that they was going into the furnace. They were bound. And the intensity of the heat was so powerful that they felt it before they got in the furnace. And it was so powerful that the men who were mighty men in the kingdom, they lost their life just getting close to that fire.
Yes.
And they were put in there. Brave, courageous. Instead of being cremated, they were up walking about. And they wasn't by themselves.
Yes.
Isn't it good God will go in the furnace with you?
Yes.
And the old king looked in there. Did we throw three in? And there was that fourth person there. And he had to acknowledge it looked like the Son of God. They brought him out. Their hair was intact. Their clothes didn't smell like smoke. They were free to walk about. May God help us. In the furnaces of your trials, that you and I will be as brave and courageous,
yes,
as those men were. I have a poem about soldiers. I am a soldier in the army of God, of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, the Word are weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army, and I am enlisted for eternity. I will never retire in this army. I will either retire in this army at the second coming or die in this army. But I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. If God needs me, I am there.
Yes, amen.
If He needs me to teach the children, work with the youth, help adults, or just sit and learn, He can use me because I am there. I am a soldier, not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I am a soldier. I am not a wimp. I am placed saluting my, I'm in place saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom.
Yes, amen.
No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled or cradled, cared for or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside.
Yes.
I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still come out ahead. Amen. My God has or will continue to supply all of my needs. I'm more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot delude me. Weather cannot weary me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from this battlefield, I am a soldier in the army, and I am marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I'm a soldier marching, heaven bound. Here I stand. So one of these days, we'll fight our last battle, Sister Maxine.
Yes.
I'm on the short end of life myself.
Yes.
Short end. Short end of my ministry. Paul got to that place too. But he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course.
Yes.
He fought a good fight. He had a lot of obstacles. Beaten. Stoned. Viper bit. Imprisoned. But he said, I fought a good fight. And all of God's soldiers will have that last battle.
Yes.
We'll have that last fight. May God bless us that we'll have a victorious ending of life. Our Father, thank you for the privilege of being in your army. You'd like to call a lot more in than are coming into the army to be soldiers. Oh, the need today for committed soldiers to death, to be able to have men and women, boys and girls, who will pledge their allegiance,
yes,
to fight in the army of the Lord. Get out of the comfort zones of life to be on the battlefield for the Lord. Oh, how there's need for young ministers to give their all to the cause. How there's need for old, established soldiers to stand true.
Yes.
How there's need for young people that are raising children to be good soldiers and role models for their children.
Yes.
Lord, we ask you that you would help those who are holding out on you in any way, any reserves, to turn loose to God and let you guide their lives. We need you in the battles that we face, dear Lord.
Yes, Lord.
But as the disciples went to Jesus, when fear overwhelmed them, as David said, when my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher. Lord, we ask you that you would bless each one that's here today to decree within their very being to be true to you through the battles of life. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.